Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Bada bing, bada boom. Hit the intro tune.
Hey, my name is Lucas.
And my name is Jacob.
The Bro Show Podcast.
Woo!
Welcome back,
welcome
everyone
to the club.
Yeah, if you're here, you've been recruited to this pyramid scheme. We actually are selling lip glasses, so you guys can buy 100, and once you guys sell that 100, you'll move land to level 2. But you guys are all at level 0 right now.
Why don't we start a pyramid scheme?
A pro show
pyramid scheme, but like, it wouldn't really be a pyramid scheme. Like, we'd all benefit. Like, everyone who actually listens to the podcast would be at the top of the pyramid. But then we scam our friends and family.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to create a link. And if you click on that link, you're automatically on level 7. But then you find your enemies and like wherever you live, and you say, "Guys, there's this new pill." No, you don't say it's a pyramid scheme.
Or just be upfront. Well, like, it is a pyramid scheme.
The thing about pyramid schemes, I watched something on it, and having a pyramid scheme is illegal, but people get around it because they call it a multi-level marketing.
Oh, MLM.
Yeah, so we could say, we could just be honest and say it is an MLM, but there is a chance you could make $10,000 next month.
Or we should just do one of those things. If you guys watched the documentary Murder on Middle Beach.
I think that's what it's called.
But they had this thing called cash tables where a lot of housewives would like do these cash tables where like everyone brings $3,000 to the table, but then like you have to recruit other people who bring $3,000, but you don't, then someone gets all the money, but like you have to work your way up. We should do something like that. It was illegal and like they went to prison, but we could maybe find a way to make it legal. Are any of you guys lawyers?
So when our mom was watching that, even though you just explained it, I'm still confused how it looks.
Yeah.
Can you explain it? Because I actually want to understand.
I was like half watching, but I think it was like everyone's at a dinner.
Yeah.
These housewives. And they told them, do not tell your family. Don't tell your husband that you're taking $3,000 out. They're all going to say it's a bad idea, even though it's the best idea ever.
And wasn't the people that didn't have the money, so they sold their vehicles?
Yeah, so first of all, they said it was like kind of good because it was these like kind of wealthier housewives, and they were like, we're all just going to benefit. But then they started pulling in people who like
didn't
really
have,
had to scrounge to get the $3,000. So it's like, then it becomes really bad because those people have to recruit their friends who, and then everyone's like trying to get $3,000 and give it to these people, but they never earn it back.
Oh, so, okay, I kind of understand it. The way that I see it is you have to have $3,000 to go to this dinner.
Yeah.
And then everyone owns money, but those people that own like $20,000 that one night.
So basically
night.
It was like you start off as an appetizer, then you move to an entree, and then once you're a dessert, that's what they call the different levels. Once you're a dessert, you get the money. Everyone who comes, you get the money. But the only way to become a dessert is like you have to recruit 8 other people to give their $3,000 for future dinners. So basically the only way to get money is to get people around you to also put in the $3,000.
I don't want
to
spoil the documentary, but is that maybe the reason why she died? Because someone was mad at her because of this?
They didn't really find out. But anyway, enough about pyramid schemes.
Oh, yeah. Like,
let's talk about our current pyramid scheme. Bro of the week.
It's a multi-level marketing. It's not a pyramid.
The bro of the week is Miles. He said,
hello.
He said, it's an honor to be bro of the week. Me and my mom took this selfie before we ate chicken just for the pod.
Oh my gosh, look at the mail. You can see it on the side. There's some gravy, it looks like. I'm not sure.
I love that they listen, a mother and son listen to the podcast while eating chicken that they specifically made to listen to the bro show. Like, thank you so much.
I know, that honestly makes my stomach have butterflies.
He also had a little advice. He wants our advice on something. He said,
he was going to give us advice and I was excited.
Can you give my mom advice on how to gently cut someone out of your life? She's too kind to emotionally unstable men on the internet. And it's concerning.
So your mom's using the dating app. So the dating website.
So she's messing around with some unstable emotional men on the internet. And she's just having her fun. But he makes it sound like she just is too kind and maybe getting hurt.
Yeah.
She's putting her heart on the line too much.
I feel like since it's over the internet, it sounds easy to cut someone off. But yeah, it could be hard.
And just tell her maybe, you know. I don't know. Just tell her, yeah, ghost these hoes.
Yeah. Oh, just explain how, like, once you block them, they'll gone out of your life.
Just let her, I'm sure she already knows this, but just be like, yeah, it's a computer screen, and once they start being rude or it starts hurting you, block. Never hear from them again your whole life. And it's as easy as that. Thank you so much, Miles. You are the bro of the week. If you ever want to be bro of the week, head on over to lucasandjacob.com and join the Patreon.
Yes, thanks for supporting.
Somebody also sent us an email that I kind of want to talk about. They started a rumor in their family about us, which I thought was...
Wait, I haven't read this one.
They said, so I was watching the podcast where you guys reunited after doing Zoom podcasts. There was a period where we did Zoom podcasts because of, like, the pandemic was really bad where we live. And she said she told her family for some reason that we got in a fight on the podcast. And she said, I explained that you two argued during one of your podcast episodes about the Real Housewives, but it seemed like something deeper. Then I said that on the next episode, you both had bruises on your face. They gasped. I hold in my laughter. I said that Lucas's boyfriend, Matthew, then wrote a statement on Twitter explaining what happened.
So in this scenario... Their family, like, kind of watches it.
I guess, like, maybe she watches the podcast, so they just, like, hear it in the background, and then she's told, like, oh my God, they have drama. Like, can you imagine if we got in a fight over the Real Housewives, but, like, the audience could just tell, like,
it's something deeper.
But then she said, so Matthew did a statement on Twitter. I told them he said that you two were in the kitchen arguing while Lucas was cooking, and all of a sudden Matthew heard a loud bump. He ran to the kitchen to see what happened and saw you both fighting each other. He didn't break it up because he didn't want to get hit. Soon after, he sat on the couch and saw Jacob looking for plane tickets to fly out of town for a while. She said her family all sat there shocked, and then she said it was a lie, and they all grabbed their chest in relief.
Oh my gosh, this is hilarious.
I know, I love that. I love that you spread drama about us. I love that.
I know, and then when Lucas was reading, I was picturing it actually happening, and it just sounds so just like unreal.
That'd be so funny if there was a scandal where somehow Matthew had to release a statement on Twitter. Like, why would he have to be the one to clear it up? Wouldn't we just talk?
And then I also picture, like, if we did get in a fight, I don't think it would be physical. I'm just not a physical type person.
Oh my God, can you imagine if we lived into a physical fight where we were bruised on the next podcast? I just didn't mention it.
No, that doesn't, like, that's just not good.
Well...
That was interesting. Didn't someone also email us? They got in a car wreck while listening to the podcast.
Oh, yes. I have to pull that one up. Hey, guys, this is Karina. I love the podcast. Last month, I was just chilling at a red light, having a great day, listening to the podcast, when the car behind me slams into me. I was shook, and a million things were going through my mind. I was trying to pull over and check on the other driver and trying to figure out what would happen and see if I was okay. Thankfully, I was okay. It was just funny to me that you guys were playing during the car crash. Also, I drove home and your podcast helped calm me down. Oh, okay.
That's good.
I thought it was going to be our podcast caused the wreck, so I'm glad we weren't the cause.
Yeah, because I could see a world where, like, I don't want this to happen, but, like, we just randomly start yelling and then you forget to press the brake.
I've thought that while listening to some music, where, like, there's a random, like, just breakdown halfway through the song that's unexpected, and I'm like, this could make someone get in a wreck.
Yeah, like, I feel like the times where it's the scariest is when I drive only to listen to music. I feel like those times where it's like, you're basically... I'm putting myself into a situation where I'm dancing, but also driving a car, like, in a way that should be illegal, because it doesn't feel safe.
Oh my God, that is weird thinking that like when people get in these car wrecks, like there is either a podcast or music playing.
I know, it's so weird thinking about some like crazy, like really fast song about like, about just like drinking and going to the club being on when you get in a car crash. It just doesn't, it sounds just like a weird mix of things.
That's really weird.
So for this podcast, the theme kind of is we both picked an icon. Iconic yes. people.
We both picked, yeah, an iconic person that we researched thoroughly, and we're just going to share with each other. We don't know who each other picked, and yeah.
Yup, so this is the iconic episode.
Iconic.
So for my person that I picked iconic, I know that you guys are thinking of like Frank Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe, all these other people, Oprah Winfrey. But I picked someone that I feel like a lot of people admire, but in the world that I live in my little bubble, people don't really mention him
them as much.
Yeah, because
it back to the last podcast, maybe they're underrated.
That's true. Yeah, they could be this person, mine might be underrated. What about yours? Just to like give a little glimpse.
Mine is, I'm guessing nobody from listening to the podcast would recognize their name.
Okay.
But you would recognize their achievements. That's a little hint. Do you want to go first or should I? You can go first.
Okay, I'll go first.
Oh, I'm excited to hear who this is. So is it someone that I know? Like, do we all know them?
Once I explain it, you'll know. But you know, I bet a few of you guys know who I'm talking about, but not many.
My psychic feeling is it's like the creator of the Macarena.
Oh, I wish, no.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, when you first said the Macarena, I was thinking of the
Tiger remix.
Harmonica.
Oh.
But the Macarena is a dance.
Didn't Tiger remix it?
Yeah, he did. Oh, okay.
Macarena.
So in 2020, there was this one like Drake song that was like kind of a dance vibe. It was right foot up, left foot side.
Oh, and the choo choo slide or what was it?
Yeah, it was called the Tootsie Slide. And he was like doing, I don't know what you'd call those songs. Well, it's not like a dancing song. It's a song where they create a dance.
Oh yeah, like Soulja Boy and like those ones where they instruct you like move to the left.
Yeah, and even though that Drake song was really big, it probably has a billion streams. I want there to be one what takes over the world, like Gundam style. Yeah. I don't know. There was a dance to that.
But then again, WAP from the top, make it drop. That's wet
true.
Ass pussy.
This is another example. I hate it about the world, but I feel like we always think like during this time, I feel like there just isn't the same as 5 years ago, but it is.
But
appreciate it, guys.
One thing that hasn't happened is where's the new wedding song? You know those songs at weddings like Cotton Eye Joe and then three hops this time, throw it back real smooth. Like, when is one of those gonna come out? We're like, I guess kind of Soulja Boy. At pretty much every wedding they play that, right?
Oh, Crank That?
Yeah, Crank That Soulja Boy.
But then another thing that I don't know when the last one was created, a big wedding song, but one that's supposed to be about love. So for example,
Ed Sheeran.
Oh, I guess he created one, but the one that I always think of is the one, I Love Me by John Legend.
Oh, that was our sister's wedding song.
Yeah, that, for some reason I think
Ed
of
Ed Sheeran and like even Justin Bieber, like that song Anyone.
Oh, that's true.
Like,
that's...
those are classic just like wedding dance songs.
Yeah, it's gonna be playing at every wedding. So why did that get mentioned? I don't know, but okay, so my person.
I guessed it was the Macarena creator.
So first of all, I wanted to find the first person to ever get a BBL done, a Brazilian butt lift.
Oh my God. This is an iconic person.
Yeah, but okay, so.
The first person to get their ass plumped surgically.
This isn't an over-exaggeration. I was looking for 30 minutes, I'd say, for this person, but I couldn't find that person because I just couldn't.
Wait, no one knows who the first BBL person was?
Well, these articles I read said there was the first BBL, but they didn't say the person's name.
Oh, okay.
So I actually know, well, I don't know. I found out the creator of the BBL.
Okay. When was it created, by the way? Like, I'm just going to guess, like, the 80s.
Well, oh, well, in 1964.
What?
It wasn't the BBL, but, so there's it. So my iconic person is, I'm gonna butcher this name, I'm sorry. Ivo Pyton Guy. I'm gonna say Ivo. Okay, I'm just gonna call him Ivo.
That's our little bro show nickname.
Yeah, his full, yeah, so, He's the person that invented the BBO, but from a few articles that I read, they don't fully credit him, but he's the one that really, really just made it secure. And, like, he basically made it passable for, like, other people to do it, because I guess in the articles made it seem like when he wasn't doing BBLs, it was more scary. It sounded like.
And this was in the 60s?
He was born in 1926 and he sadly died in 2016. But yeah, in the 60s.
Did he create liposuction? Because isn't BBL, if you guys aren't familiar, is what a lot of Instagram hot people do, where they suck the fat out of like their stomach or like, I don't know, their love handles, and they shove it into their butt. So did he create this technique?
So from my notes, it basically started out with, so I guess technically you wouldn't consider this a BBL. I don't think you would. So he started out just, he would make people's asses more toned. So that was no implants, no fat, nothing. He just would do surgery where the ass would be more toned.
Oh, but he wouldn't do any of the fat transfer or anything.
But yeah, and then it turned into he would do implants. So it started out, he would use boob implants.
In your butt.
Yeah, but then it went into like, I guess more people wanted it, so they created butt implants. And then, yeah, like it went, I don't know when the transition happened, but it went to today's modern BBL, which is where they take the stuff out of the stomach and inject it in the ass. So it's lipo and BBL. Yeah.
I'm so confused with butt implants, because like boob implants, I get it, because like your boobs are just like hanging, you know, but like you're constantly sitting on your butt. Falling, just you're always sitting on your ass, you know what I mean? But then, yeah. Like, there's two implants. Like, when does that feel normal?
So,
like, do you always feel them moving?
So, like, after researching last night, why would someone get butt implants if they can just do the BBL?
Because not everyone has enough fat to get, like, the big, gigantic.
This throws back to your video. Is it still on your channel where you got a consultation? Mostly as a joke, but.
Because,
You like thought it ruined
you. No good algorithm reasons.
Yeah.
It got, like, pushed, it got like flagged.
I know. I actually would
private
it too.
But I did go, I went to, I did a vlog where I got a consultation from a BBL place in LA, just like as a joke to hear what the tea was. But yeah, they told me that I like didn't really have enough fat to do it.
So you do butt implants.
Yeah. Cause like, sadly, like I just didn't have enough fat. It's like really hard for me.
Okay.
So skinny. But
I feel like for me personally, I have no plans to get a BBL, but I would only get one if I could get a BBL. I wouldn't want butt implants.
I wouldn't want any implants, because not that like I was pregnant.
I know, same.
But like, isn't there a new thing where all these people come forward and say they have breast implant illness?
Yeah, and it causes
where like the silicone slowly like gets into their body and like makes them tired all the time.
Like, stuff like that's
even though,
scary.
Like, most people probably don't get silicone illness. Like, I just would hate living where I feel like, oh, I'm kind of tired today, and I think like, wait, is it because of the implants giving me silicone illness?
That stuff is scary. So would it leak? Is that how that gets
caused?
But then again,
if you have breast implants, we're not trying to scare you. I'm sure it's rare.
I feel like if you got them done, like I'm assuming most of the time it's safe.
Oh yeah, you guys, more people than ever are shopping online, and if you sell stuff online, you are in the right business, honey. Orders are coming in like hotcakes, and business is booming. But one part about selling stuff online is you gotta fulfill all those orders out fast to please your customers. And that's why online sellers like you need ShipStation. No matter how much you sell, ShipStation makes it super easy to manage and ship all of your orders from your sales channels faster, cheaper, and more efficiently. You'll be able to ship with any carrier, access discounted shipping rates, and automate just about any shipping task. So you'll spend less time with all the shipping nonsense and more time, I don't know, making better products, connecting with your customers, and making that business grow.
ShipStation is great. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own site, there's countless places to sell items. ShipStation funnels all your orders into one simple interface that you can manage from anywhere, even your cell phone. Did you hear that? Your little cell phone can handle this. You'll even get access to amazing discounts with major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, USPS, easily compare carriers and choose the best solution every time. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for Fortune 500 companies without the contracts or commitments. That's amazing because these people with side hustles and stuff, they can get these cheap shipping things too.
Yeah, and it's no wonder ShipStation has more five-star reviews than any other shipping software. Use our code LucasJacob to get a 60-day free trial of ShipStation. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in LucasJacob. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code LucasJacob. Make ship happen.
Yes, if you are selling stuff online, try this out. Thanks for sponsoring.
But for some reason, recently my recommended on YouTube has been plastic surgery videos. So I clicked.
For
I,
real?
I accidentally clicked on one. Or you know those ones where it's like plastic surgeon guesses what surgeries Kim Kardashian had?
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing and now like all of his videos keep popping up. Of like, and I want to click because it just sounds interesting, but I'm like, I want him out of my recommended.
My new recommended thing, I don't want to say this because I feel like people are going to get this idea. I'm even scared to tell you, but there was this one video on my recommended. I don't know why it got in my recommended. I swear I don't Google like mental health stuff all the time. But there was this video that was called I'm 22 and Have No Funds. And I wanted to watch
it. I've seen
it. It had like a million
views.
I've
seen that in my recommended.
You did?
Yes, it must have universally got sent to everyone.
Okay, but now for some reason when I go on my recommended, every few videos is I'm 22, have such bad social anxiety, and I have no funds. And like, I'm glad that there's those videos for like people to feel like related to, but I just feel like, why is this in my recommended?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't click on it, but I saw the thumbnail of the one of I'm 22 and I'm friends. Wasn't he in his car?
I haven't watched that one. I don't know what the other one was called, but I'm thinking about this one where I did watch it. It was this girl, I think on a Pauk Bunch, and she was talking about she was in her 20s and just has never had funds, and she didn't even really want it. She made it sound like she had social anxiety. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's my new YouTube recommended. I was just scared to tell you guys because I didn't want you guys to think like I was so anxious and like you guys don't need to be worried or anything, you know? That's why I did it scared. Okay, but Ivo. Okay, so first we need to go back to the beginning of this whole big butt craze. So first of all, BBL stands for Brazilian Butt Lift. And I think it's because people from Brazil have big old butts.
I'm not sure.
I'm just assuming. I don't know. I'm assuming.
Or is a creator from Brazil or something?
That could also... I don't know. Okay, but so yeah, so this big butt thing. So for Victorian women, which, by the way, like what... Do you know what time era this would be, Victoria women? Victorian? Like, would that... Can you actually, well...
I'll pull it up on, I'll have on my, well, you can talk and I'll Google.
Because I know when I think of Victorian people, I think like really old. Like long ago, I mean.
I already know the answer, but I'm just going to Google it to be extra sure. But I know like everything about history.
Oh, like just the kidding. 80s.
The 1800s.
Oh, the 1800s, not the 80s. I meant the 1800s.
It says the Victorian era is from 1837 to 1901.
Yeah, so basically these women, they said women, but I'm assuming not many men got it done, but they said this was achieved through corsets that narrowed the waist and enhanced the contrast between the waist and the booty, which even today, sometimes people use corsets.
Oh, so the Victorian era, like that's one of the first times where they can remember where people were like, we want like the hourglass, slim, thick vibe.
Yeah, it is weird because I would just picture sometime within the 1800s, one person would have tried to get a butt lift, but... From my knowledge, that didn't ever
probably
happen.
Not even plastic surgery back then, though.
Oh, yeah, because I guess there was big old.
Like, was
I guess,
there even surgery?
Because I picture it to be like you, there was more stuff to like worry about. Like,
for some reason, I always thought like plastic surgery started in like the 80s. But then like I watched a Marilyn Monroe documentary and she got plastic surgery apparently.
Oh, this, when I was researching this last night, this, a few articles credited her for like, Because I guess she was more full, the article said.
Oh, people wanted the Marilyn look.
Yeah, so I guess they kind of credited her for, like, kind of, like, boosting the Brazilian butt lift and boob job.
No, she probably did. Her impact, though.
Oh, yeah, I watched this. So I honestly don't know that much about Marilyn Monroe. I've watched, like, a few things about her, but I watched this video, like, a year ago or something, and it was basically saying that, like during her, like, whole life, she was always so depressed. There was this interview where she was getting...
Oh, yeah.
She was talking to the interviewer, and she said, like, yeah, on most days, I'm always just so sad.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think she had, like, a bad childhood or something.
Yeah.
But...
I also know, like, she was so nervous to, like, act all the time, even when she was so famous. Like, apparently,
Did she take pills or something during set?
Well, I just know, like, she, like, threw up, and, like, during, like, a table read, like, she threw up before. Like, after she was already a big star, because she just, like, hated, like, perform. Like, she was always so... had such bad stage fright.
But she wanted to perform, but she just hated
it. Yeah, she needed the attention, but also hated it.
Oh my gosh. That's every social media person. Okay. So that's how it started. But then Ivo, this plastic surgeon, as I said, he was born in 1926, sadly died in 2016. He's widely credited as the creator of the Brazilian butt lift. Though the technique, as I said earlier, had decades of innovation. Okay?
Oh, yeah. But he was the OG.
So I am confused. My data doesn't really add up because it just said it has decades of innovation, but it said that the first butt lift was done.
No, I think they mean after. It's had decades of innovation, right?
So he probably, yeah, that makes sense.
I think. I don't know, though.
Okay. So he's not only invented the BBL, but he also just, he did plastic surgery for, like, the rich and famous.
Where did he live?
He did plastic surgery for the rich and famous because he always made it, like, the articles that I read made it seem like he just was, like, made it luxury. Like, he would, like, fly people on helicopters and shit.
Oh, damn. So, that's, like, a whole experience.
Yeah, so just, like, to expose these celebrities that got it, even though they're probably dead. Okay, Sophie Lauren? I didn't know.
Wait, I don't even know her body was fake.
I didn't know who she is. Okay, but I'm just going to skip the rest. Frank Sinatra. I didn't know he got plastic surgery.
What did he get done?
I want to know. Like a nose job, maybe?
Oh, my God. Frank Sinatra, low-key, like, while he was alive, was like, you didn't F me. You F the old body.
I know. Like, that's just crazy thinking that, like, when he was in school, in high school, he had sex with someone. But then, like, when he was, like, 30 and, like, rich and famous, he actually went to them and said, like, you ain't F me, you F the old body.
Oh, yeah, that's an unreleased Nicki song, just for people who don't understand. She raps about, like, it's, like, isn't it kind of like a song, like, you didn't F me, just so you know, like, you F'd my old body. So,
yeah.
Like, you basically didn't F Nicki, you F'd her, like, before she got the new body.
And the way that I think about it, because, like, I'm not planning on getting plastic surgery right now in my life. I don't think I... maybe, I guess who knows. But what I mean is, like, I feel like I can even relate to that song because if I'm just, like, really feeling good about myself one day, it's like, you ain't F me, you F the old body.
Or even just, like, a new haircut. It's like, just so you know, like, you didn't F me, you F my old haircut.
Oh, a new pair of glasses.
Oh, yeah. It's
anything.
Like, or even just, like, you have a new vibe. It's like, you didn't F me, you F, like, back when I had a different vibe.
I know, and it's like.
So, like, basically, like, you can't claim anything. Because everyone's always, like, trying to claim, like. They effed with us.
I know. It's always a thing.
Just kidding.
Okay, but then to also just to let you guys know more about Ivo. He wasn't only the plastic surgeon king. I'm going to name him that. He also, like, he gave... Because in the beginning, it made it sound like he didn't go into this field for cosmetic reasons. He did it on, like, born victims and stuff. So by the way, like, just to, like, he was actually so nice. He, like, gave people, like, free... surgeries and stuff.
So it started off with, like, let's help people who, like, got mutilated in these horrible accidents. But then it moved on to, like, oh, and even people who, like, didn't, like, get a bigger ass.
Yeah, yeah, that's what, yeah, he just started out more not cosmetic related. So in 1964, Ivo published a paper on early butt, I'm just going to call it butt, I'm not going to call it buttocks.
Lift surgeries. I hate that.
So he published a paper which removed the excess skin and tissue to correct sagging. This method tightened and toned, but wasn't able to increase volume or projection. So, as I was saying in the beginning, remember how I said he started out doing this?
Yeah.
So in this thing, it would be like, oh, I'm in the bathroom and like, oh, like my butt's kind of saggy. It's like, let's lift that shit up.
Oh, so before he got to plumping, he was just all about lifting.
So I'm trying to think. So would it be a thing like if you had a saggy butt, he just lift it? Like
I guess.
I can't really. I don't know. I'm just trying to picture like what would be the big change in this scenario.
I guess it'd just be pushed up. Okay. Probably tape it up to your back, I'm guessing.
But the first documented butt implant. So I'm pretty sure BBL is only when you put fat in the butt. But the first documented butt implant wasn't because cosmetic lesions. Well, I guess I don't know. But it was because one butt cheek was dying. So I guess it might be because cosmetic reasons.
Dying.
What this one side of this person's butt cheek was dying. So they put a breast implant in the other butt. So it was.
Equal, so that was the first time a butt implant ever happened.
Yeah, so...
What a magical day.
I know. I would say it's a half and half.
Like, why don't we have that on the calendar? They have all this flag day, frog day. Why can't we have the first butt implant day?
I know. In 1964, I don't know...
God you guys are listening to this.
This was in 1969, by the way.
You guys would have never known this. If it wasn't for the bro show.
That's so interesting. Like, the first... thing, let's actually think about this. The world has been around for thousands of years. The first time someone ever put something in their actual ass skin was in 1969. That's not even that long ago.
Yeah,
so
we are lucky to be alive during this time period. We could have been born thousands of years ago and just all this bad stuff was there's still bad stuff happening, but like at least you live in a time where people put implants in their butt. You know what I mean? Like, be thankful.
What is it going to be like in 50 years? Are people going to be... I'm just interested now.
I know.
Yeah, so in 1969, the first breast butt implant was done. Now, the first cosmetic... So, yeah, that one wasn't cosmetic. It was because they actually needed it. But the first cosmetic butt surgery was in 1973. This led to the commercial development of butt-specific implants.
Oh.
Yeah, so this is when they stopped using breast implants. And they just were like, let's get these...
cheeks butt gone. Implants. Let's get the cheeks plumped.
Yeah, so in the 70s, butt implants, like the whole BBL craze kind of advanced because they basically it got more innovative. There was more, it just made it butter if you were planning
crazy
on getting
one. Like, I remember I always thought, like, obviously I knew, like, in Marilyn Monroe's time, like, people wanted the hourglass, but I always thought that, like, it was a brand new thing, this BBL thing. Like, I thought, like, before, like, 5 years ago, everyone wanted a flat butt.
Oh, yeah, so is it a thing where... So it's been around since the 70s, but I feel like now more people are willing to get it.
Yeah.
Like, so when we talk more about this, there's actually a dark side to butt injections. Like, let me actually just say this stat right now.
I actually have a video on my channel called The Dark Side of Butt Implants.
Oh, watch it. first of all, this is just a random stat I found. Nearly 320,000 people, 320,000, that's right?
Yeah.
Got a butt augmentation or butt lift procedures. There was 320,000 butt procedures in 2015. Now, the dark side of this was because some people get it done in, like, overseas countries where they don't have as many regulations. So there has, I think it said, like, 15 people in that year, or I don't think all time, but there'd probably be more, but have died from getting butt implants.
Oh my God, that's horrible. Yeah, actually,
so it actually can be scary.
I remember one of the doctors from Botch said that it's the most dangerous, most deadly plastic surgery you could get is the butt, anything to do with your butt.
Yeah, so I don't want to spread rumors because she actually follows me on Instagram, but didn't Cardi B go in an airplane and her butt implants almost exploded, but she was honest about it.
Well, I also know that she came forward that, like, back in her stripper days, she got, like, really, like, black market butt injections in, like, the basement.
So I just want to, like, do a PSA, like, if you are actually planning on getting this done, make sure it's, like, safe, yeah.
Yeah, and even if you do get it done safe, I think it's still, like, dead. It's just not safe. But actually, you know what I mean? Like, it's just more likely, like... But then again, like, you get a big butt, so...
Well, honestly, I don't get it, because you sit all the time, so I don't get how it would be safe, but I'm not a doctor.
I also want to know, like, the long term. Like, is this something you have to touch up every 10 years? Like, what happens when the butt has been sat on for 10 years?
Oh, yeah, I feel like it would be a touch-up procedure.
Yeah.
Also, something else about the BBL. I mean, whenever I think of BBL, I just think of fat ass. But something else to be noted that a lot of these... that I was being... exposed to last night, that it's not only fat ass, it's basically a whole, it's basically the hourglass, because with a BBL, your butt gets, so your hips get and butt get bigger, but your stomach gets slimmer, so basically it just is like, overall, like that whole section of your body is just getting snatched.
Amplified.
Yeah. So, the first cosmetic one was in 1973, and in the 1990s, doctors started to realize they could use the fat from lipo for butt implant. So this in the 1990s. So in the 1990s, this is when they actually launched the lipo.
The BBL as we know it was invented.
Yeah, the lipo BBL.
Uh-huh.
Which honestly is pretty advanced. Like, I wonder who thought of that. It was like, let's kill two birds with one stone.
Wait, remember we watched that girl on my channel, both of us, the woman addicted to butt implants?
Oh, yeah.
And she would, like, she wanted so many surgeries, and, like, the doctor, she wanted, like, the biggest butt ever. But, like, before the surgery, remember, like, she would go to buffets and, like, live the fantasy, like, eating so much food, because she was like, I have to gain as much fat as I can before they put it into my ass.
And the other thing about...
Can you imagine the fun 3 months before getting a BBL?
I know, just, like, eating whatever you want.
Yeah, every second is like, okay, ice cream bar,
and
buffet.
And Something else about that video, she actually claimed, well, I believe her. She, like, said, like, oh, I'm getting this for my job.
Oh, she basically said, the OnlyFans girl.
Yeah, she said, like, this is how I make my money.
Yeah, because everyone just obsessed with her, but.
I know, it did look fun, her, at the buffets.
I know.
I feel like, for me, like, I'm going to go to buffets, and then, like, you know, I don't know. I was trying to think of something funny to inject the fat to.
Oh, like, don't even do a BBL, but, like, gain weight, and then, like, inject it into your biceps?
Oh,
just
but...
like, a big, fat bicep.
But that's not even muscle.
I never, like, no one would know.
Okay. The 90s, the actual BBL, as we know it, was created. And now, BBLs are rising because the tiny ass and big waist... No, big ass and tiny waist, which... I already said. Now, if you were wondering, the average cost is around $4,000.
I was expecting more.
Well, this is only for the surgery, but this isn't for, like, anesthesia.
Wait,
and, like, the
how
pills.
Much did the people charge me at the I think I did the consultation for free because I was doing a video, but remember they gave me a quote. Was it like $6,500 or something?
Yeah, it was around like $5,000 or $6,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is obviously a lot of money. As I said, $320,000 people have got it in 2015. Can we talk about that one more time? When I saw this, I was like, does this mean... Obviously, this is worldwide. There's billions of people, but that means that, like, you've 100% seen someone with this in the last year at a grocery store or something.
2015. You know it's going up every year.
I know. That's crazy. So, yeah, people have died. And I want to thank Dazed Beauty, this article publication thingy-majig, for giving me all this info. So, yeah.
Oh, my God. Ivo learned the butt implants history.
Yeah, and the iconic person is Ivy Piting Guy. And, yeah, he invented the butt implants. And, honestly, go him, because I'm proud of him. Because, like, he wasn't only just butt injections. He also, like, wanted...
burn victims.
Yeah, it wasn't just... If all you care about is fat asses, go off. But he was caring about multiple things.
Well, he's for sure a bro show icon.
Yeah! Rest in peace, Ivo.
Well, that's great. I'm glad. I'm actually genuinely glad I learned that. So thank you for educating us.
I'm glad I learned it last night, too.
So do you have any guesses of what mine is?
Okay, the first thing is Inventor, which I guess you said they aren't well known. So I feel like it for sure is an Inventor. I feel like it has something to do with food. Like, I just feel like that's
okay,
the vibe.
Before I get into it, I did just write down a few talking points I wanted to say. First of all, what tattoo should I get? You guys, this is a problem that I want to share with you guys. I do want to get a tattoo. I actually do. I already have one Pac-Man tattoo, but I want to get, like, more tattoos. What should I get them of? Please leave your ideas below. What should I...
Oh,
I don't know what to get.
Not to make about myself, but I want tattoos too.
I know. Like, we both want tattoos. And, like, with one of our sisters, we always would say, okay, we're going to get a tattoo and we're going to make this whole thing, but we never effing did it.
I don't know. Okay. This is what kind of opened my eyes. So when we went to Claire's a week ago and I got my ears pierced, okay, I've actually thought it's the same thing as tattoos. I thought about it multiple times. I was like, I honestly think it'd look pretty sick if I got my ears pierced. But I honestly don't think I would have ever done it unless we would have went to Claire's that day.
I know. It is one of those things, like you said, like sometimes you forget you're allowed. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, in my body, in my mind right now, like, I think I'm not allowed to get a tattoo. But then I have to remind myself, oh, wait, I do have free will. You know what I mean? You know when you forget?
Yeah. And then
you literally said that about your earrings. Like, you just sometimes you forget you have free will. It's like, wait, I can go get a tattoo tonight. But I just, like, feel like I can't.
Yeah, and it's not even like someone's telling you not to. It just is your own mind.
Yeah, like, I just feel like, oh, yeah, like, I'll have to ask for all these permissions. But it's like, No, like, you don't live with your parents. Like, you don't bash your mom and dad.
Also, something
it's
else
27.
Is you don't have to get a tattoo that's, like, so meaningful.
Oh,
it can
yeah.
just be something fun.
I for sure wouldn't get a meaningful tattoo. Because also, like, maybe, like, I want to do with family, but I still want it to be, like, cute. And, like, I want a tattoo where I look at it and it, like, makes me feel joy. I don't want to feel like, oh, like, my dead animal. Like, I want to feel joy when I see my tattoo. But obviously, I get why people get tattoos, like, in memoriam.
Like, in another world, if... Like, because I know if I did this, I'd regret it after a month. But I want to do it for the joke. I want to have a tattoo on my arm. We've joked about this before, but, like, and I know, like, this is, like, I guess you, I was going to say it might be a bad influence, but, like, no one's looking up to me. I was going to say, like, one that says, like, obviously this isn't even me, but, like, one that just says something ridiculous. For, I have two examples. One that says, like, one could be, like, something along the lines of, like, famous forever, or something like I live in Hollywood life, or like,
Hollywood boy.
And then another one that would be funny, but this I wouldn't like the Hollywood one. Maybe it won't ever happen, but maybe another one would be something funny. It's like cigarettes for life. I've
even
never
don't even smoke.
It's something about it just so funny because it just like. I don't know. It's funny.
No, you
me.
Should do it.
I don't think I will, but... But yeah, leave comments of what Lucas should
get. I kind of want to get a Pomeranian tattoo, but I don't want it to look... You know when people get realistic drawings on their body? I don't like that. For me personally.
I feel like what would look pretty sick...
If it was like a cartoon.
Oh, I was thinking just a black outline.
Oh!
So it would be like...
Of like Luna's outline of her body.
Yeah, and nothing's in the middle, just a black outline of her body.
That would be cool, actually.
I feel like Pomeranians fit you because haven't you always been obsessed with Pomeranians?
Yeah, I just love Pomeranians. Yeah, they've always been like a huge part of my life. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online.
With BetterHelp, there is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room ever again. BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they can make it easy and free to change counselors if needed.
It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily to see how people are loving it. Visit BetterHelp.com/LucasJacob. That's BetterHelp.com/LucasJacob. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And me and Lucas... And the listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/LucasJacob.
Also, I wrote down another talking point when we said the bro show out loud. Because I just remember when we were at a relative's house a few weeks ago. We never really see these people. Like they're like we see them like just every couple of years maybe. But it was so funny because they were asking us, like, what are you guys up to? And we said, oh, we, like, do videos and we have a podcast. And they said, what's the podcast called? For some reason, saying The Bro Show, I felt, like, so, like, embarrassed. And I said, because it sounds so, like, I just felt like it sounded, like, so lame for some reason. Yeah. Bro Show. But I still love the name, but.
When we were saying that, I was thankful, maybe you were thinking this, but I was thankful that we changed the name from Bro Show.
Because
if we would have said... Yeah, we have this podcast called Bros Before Hoes. In that scenario, if it was still called Bros Before Hoes, like if they would have asked, I would have just said, oh, it's called Lucas and Jacob.
I know, I wouldn't have said Bros Before Hoes. That's like, well, they think we're like sexist or something.
But when I think of the Bro Show, like I just picture them thinking like, I don't know, just like this, it just, I don't know, it's funny.
I was just picturing them thinking like some cartoon sound effects and us being like, we're bros for life, brothers, or something like that.
Didn't we also talk about this on the podcast? Maybe just in real life you were talking about it, but something else, like, this is kind of like, I didn't mean to diss, but it kind of sounded like a diss because they were like, what are you up to, Jacob? And I said, oh yeah, I have my YouTube channel and then we have a podcast. And then I went into, this is where the diss starts. I went into, oh yeah, if you don't know what a podcast is, it's like, they're probably like 50 or 40, but it was just funny because once I was explaining it, being like, oh, it's a radio show on the internet, basically, they were like, boo, like we know who Joe Rogan is and stuff.
Oh yeah, that was so funny because I joined in with you too, where like, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know why, but I was just like, oh yeah, like it's a radio show for the internet or whatever. But then, yeah, they were like, oh, we literally listened to Joe Rogan. Like, we're like with this stuff.
Yeah,
they,
it was super funny.
They even knew that, they knew that Joe Rogan got bought by Spotify. Like, they were up to date.
I know, that was super funny saying that for a show, though. Like, it was just a had to be there moment.
Okay, so on to my iconic person.
Wait, any other talking notes?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
My person I want to educate the bro show community on is the first ever Disney star. Because that just got me thinking I wanted to do like... So I actually did both the first Disney star and first Nickelodeon star. Because like we think like Miley Cyrus, Demi Lovato, Miranda Cosgrove. But like who was the first ever Disney star, you know?
Oh my gosh. So if I had to guess, it's like... Oh, wouldn't it be like... Wouldn't it be like someone on that one Disney show that was on the 90s.
Mickey Mouse Club?
Yeah, is that who it would be?
It is, but it was way before, 1955.
Oh.
So the Mickey Mouse Club first aired, I'm guessing television, in 1955, and Annette, oh my, what's her last? Oh, Annette Funicello. I don't know.
We both butchered our names, so
but
it's fine.
But she's an icon. She was, at the age of 12, chosen to be the first ever Mouseketeer of the singing and dancing show, The Mickey Mouse Club.
What do you mean? Oh my gosh.
I've never watched an episode of The Mickey Mouse Club, but I always did hear about it from like Britney Spears being in it and stuff. But like, what was it?
Yeah, so
I just picture them in a treehouse being like, it's The Mickey Mouse Club. And like, they're just dancing around for literally a whole hour.
Because I haven't ever watched that one, but I'm assuming you've watched this too. But like the one that isn't, the one that we're thinking of, and it just is a bunch of cartoons.
You know, the modern version.
But oh, that, I honestly think it was probably them and Chia's. They didn't speak that much. It was mostly just like Mickey Mouse and they're just like dancing. And
like
saying,
maybe each
so
episode
fun.
Had like a lesson where they're like, don't bully guys because bullying's bad. Or they say, always remember to eat healthy food. Or like it always had like a little message for the kids.
Yeah.
So after the Mickey Mouse Club, like she wasn't just, oh, on the Mickey Mouse Club and disappeared. Like she had a long ass career. Like she... After she was on the Mickey Mouse Club being the little preteen star, she became a pop singer, which I thought was funny because, like, I thought that was a modern thing, these Disney stars becoming pop stars. But she was the literal first ever Disney star, and she was a pop star.
That's crazy. So was it, like, when she was 16, or was it more of a thing, like, when she was in her 20s?
Well, she was 12 in the Mickey Mouse Club, so I'm assuming this was, like, it was when she was still a minor, I know. Like, she was, like, 15, 16, just a teen. Because I know
so
that because
funny.
There was some other part of, like, Walt Disney, like, didn't want her to date this one guy who was a year older than her.
Wait.
When she was a minor and he was
18. That's a whole other thing. And this time, Walt effing Disney was actually alive.
Yeah, the craziest thing is that Walt Disney himself discovered her.
That's so weird.
So some of her smash hits when she was a pop star were O Dia Mio. Do you know what that means in Spanish? I'm just guessing in Spanish.
No. Shall I hoy en such?
O Dio Mio.
I actually am not gonna.
Actually kinda. I for some reason I need to know now. O Dio Mio meaning. Is it even another language? Oh, it means oh my god. Oh my god, so cute. Like a teen pop star, like she had a song called like OMG pretty much.
And it was probably so edgy because, like, you can't use the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, yeah. Probably caused so much controversy.
I know. Like, you know, like, those people on Twitter were saying, like, if it was nowadays and we were in the 1950s and they had Twitter, they'd be like, oh, my gosh, like, the world's ending now.
They're like, they don't know what Odio Mio means, but it means the Lord's name in vain. But she also had another hit called Missed First Name Initial. Okay. Pineapple Princess. That's kind of cute. But the Pineapple Express isn't, like, a weed thing. So she low-key, like, a weed girl. Like,
wait, Pineapple Express, what is that?
I think it just means, like, selling weed.
Oh, okay.
I'm just guessing from the Seth Rogen movie. Maybe I completely missed them. But her most popular hit, guess what it peaked at the Billboard Hot 100?
What I'm guessing is, like, 18. I'm not guessing, like,
number 7.
For real?
It was number 7 on the Hot 100. And the craziest thing is, people are always saying, nowadays these TikTok songs are so short. She invented that. The song was 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Are you joking?
She knew her demographic. She knew kids these days have ADD. Give them a 1 minute and 30 second song called Tall Paul, and they'll eat it up like hotcakes. She made it really simple. It wasn't, oh, all these intricate lines. This is the chorus. I love Paul. Tall Paul. Tall Paul. He's my all. Tall Paul with the king size arms.
Wait, have you listened to it? Because I want to.
I haven't. I want to listen, but will we get copyrighted?
Yeah, I'm going to listen to it after.
Also, but one of the verses is chalk on the sidewalk, writing on the wall. Everybody knows it. I love Paul.
Wait, so which one was this? Was this the Oh Dio Mio?
No, this is called Tall Paul. Just about some tall guy named Paul who she just is into. And he hopefully, has king size arms, I guess.
Hopefully Paul's a real person. Something else that's crazy that I want to mention, like I'm not a music manager, but think about this. It was a one minute song.
Yeah.
But this obviously wasn't streaming. People bought the song and it still went to number 7. And yeah. It wasn't because people like streamed it over and over. It was just because
it's just a smash.
Yeah.
So basically the beginning of her career is she took singing and dancing classes as a child because she was super shy. So I guess her parents were like, oh, put her on stage and that'll make her not be shy anymore. And it must have worked because Walt Disney himself, like I said, discovered her dance recital, and he literally hand-selected her to be the first ever Disney TV star.
That was always my dream when I was a little kid. I thought I would be in, this is when I was in middle school and elementary school. I thought I would literally be in math class, not even performing. And someone would come in, and, because I thought there was just, I don't know if I actually thought this, but I thought there would be, a talent scout just randomly in our town, and I would walk in and be like, I feel like there's something special about you. You're going to be on the next Disney Channel
show.
Or
also, we grew up in a small town in Nebraska. So when we went to the big city of Omaha and went to the mall, that's when I was like, okay, there's agents all around the mall, obviously.
Okay, it's I'm doing my hair for today.
I'm going to get ready and be really charismatic because there are talent scouts. But have you seen those TikToks of people being me when I was eight, at the mall, and it's them being like, dangerous woman. Is that low-key trying to sing to get discovered? Why did all of us grow up thinking we were going to get discovered at the mall?
No, because, okay. I don't know where I thought this, where I hold it, but because when I was in second grade, I did that town talent show.
Yeah.
I remember actually thinking back then, this was when I was in second grade, I forgot where I heard about a talent scout, but I remember thinking there might be talent scout too.
I thought
I was going to blow that up.
I know. I thought the same thing when I did Aladdin Jr.
You thought
I did Aladdin Jr. in Nebraska, and I was like, okay, well, I have this on my resume, so I'm probably going to start moving up because now that I have something under my belt, you know? Oh, yeah. I remember being so mad when I was in Aladdin Jr., though, because I didn't even get any of the main characters. I was guard number 5. I remember thinking it isn't enough to get a talent agent, but I probably could still use my resume or something.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, she was hand-selected. Also, something else cool about her career is she was actually supposed to be in the Wizard of Oz spinoff. There's going to be a huge Disney classic, Wizard of Oz, the sequel, but a spinoff or something. She was going to be the star, and they even previewed it on the Disney Channel back then, being like, you guys, a new Wizard of Oz thing. No one knows why to this day. The whole thing was scrapped, and nobody knows what happened. But she was supposed to be in a classic-ass movie.
Oh my gosh, the spinoff of Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, the literal spinoff Walt Disney produced. And it didn't happen.
I love The Wizard of Oz, so I want to know what this was like.
But she did have some drama with Disney, so maybe that's why. Because in December of 1959, she attempted to leave her contract with Disney. Because she was starting to say, I'm getting real big. Tall Paul is everywhere. And she was like, you guys, you signed me when I was just a dancer at a recital, had no lawyer, agent, or manager. And I guess she was getting $300 a week. So
what would that equal now?
By 2020 standards, that'd be $3,000 a week. So that's a lot.
But if you're the biggest star in the world, you'd expect
obviously
that is a lot of money.
That's
obviously
a lot of money. But she was like, you guys, Tall Paul is, it's a sensation. She's like, you can't go to any tween's house without them singing Tall Paul. I deserve more than $3,000 a week. The court denied her request.
I wonder what she was thinking, because what I picture is, she's a business person. She was doing the calculation. She was like, guys, for my whole career, I'm earning $50,000 a week in those standards. And she's like, I'm only getting $300 of it. I should at least be getting $5,000 of it.
Yeah, she was just mad because Tall Paul was that song and she wasn't getting the money.
Oh my gosh. This is a bad situation to be in because it's she signed the contract, but at the same time, she's the Tao Pao girl.
Walt Disney discovered her, made her a star, but she, she started to fight against him being I want more money.
Anyway, it gets difficult.
So she did have a little bit of drama, but it all got resolved and she ended up working with Disney a lot more. So she had a little bit of a moment where Tall Paul was blowing up and she was like, F you guys, like, I'm so much bigger than you guys, like, I'm bigger than Disney. But then she realized, like, okay, like, I get it, like, I'll come back to the company. So there was no bad blood in the long run.
Did they, like, did you find out if they ended up raising her money a little bit?
No, the court just refused. So for the rest of her, I don't know how long the contract was, but she was, yeah, stuck with the same amount.
I mean, she was still getting, like, she was still making, like, $150 a year. So that's
a lot. But the career didn't end with the teen hits, the teen music. She also became a teen movie star. It said she was a teen idol. She was in so many movie stars, all about a beach. So she had a whole movie franchise. It was like The Hunger Games back then, where it started off with Beach Party. She was the main girl at the beach. Everyone loved it. And I guess Walt Disney, since like he discovered her at such a young age, he was like, I know this is a beach movie, but she's going to have to just, she can't wear a bikini or anything. But I guess once she was on set and she was like 17, they let her wear a bikini and like it was this big deal.
Oh, because back then, like if you had any clothes off, it
so
was like,
Beach
wow.
Party was a hit. She went on to do Muscle Beach Party, where some muscle guys were in it.
Pow, because didn't you say one of the lyrics was big-armed pow?
It's so funny because two of the movies from the franchise came out the same year, unless Wikipedia is wrong. So Muscle Beach Party came out in 1964, the same year Bikini Beach. So I don't know if they shot these movies in like a day or what.
Oh, was it a thing for like, because isn't there a thing now where if you're a child actor, you can only work for a certain amount of hours? I think it was a thing where it's like you're walking like
oh, they probably didn't
16
have those
hours
rules
a day.
Back then, I bet.
Yeah.
So when the franchise went on to Dr. Goldfoot and the bikini machine, it also went to How to Stuff a Bikini. Okay, getting a little edgy.
Wait, How to Stuff a Bikini?
I think just like get bigger boobs. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So, but the tea is the franchise went on to do one last movie called The Ghost in the Invisible Bikini. Annette wasn't in it because she was like, because the movie started losing the attention and like she was like, you know what, like I'm not even gonna be in this last one, like it's not even it anymore. So she, the star, you know, that always happens where like it always seems like that happens where like a movie's so big where then like the star like gets replaced for like the third and fourth movie.
Yeah, it does seem like that happens.
Even like Bring It On, where like there's so many Bring It On movies, the main cast like isn't in any of them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because like it like it was such a big hit for the first one, and like and it's still doing good, but it just gets less over time.
Yeah, so after being in all the beach movies all through the 60s, in the 70s she was like taking a break and starting a family, and in the 80s she still was raising her family, but she kind of dabbled in acting. She was in some Skippy peanut butter commercials.
Oh, okay. So
everyone was just like, oh, she's the Skippy girl.
Wait, so is she still alive?
No, she isn't. Rest in peace.
But, okay, I want to watch an interview with her or something. Because, like, I'm actually so interested in, like
I know,
what
I
was
know,
her
like,
vibe?
That's what I want to know, too.
I need to know. And what did
but
she look like?
The coolest thing about her career. So, in the 60s, she was in the bikini. She was the bikini girl of America. In the 80s, the late 80s.
So, she was probably, like, 30?
She probably was, like, 40? I actually don't know. But in the late 80s, she did a movie, Back to the Beach, where she reunited with the cast.
Oh my god!
I know. So like these beach movies, like they had power. Like people watched like 8 bikini movies all through the 60s. 1987, Back to the Beach. People were like, we want to go back to the beach.
Wait, like I haven't obviously watched these movies, but what I'm picturing, I don't know if this is the vibe, but what I'm picturing is like a Baywatch.
Yeah, I'm picturing like just a bunch of like young people on a beach and like there's romance and like maybe some of them are lifeguards. Maybe she worked at like an ice cream shop at the beach, like sidewalk, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it was all of that. Like, and it was like summer break. That's what I'm guessing. I want to watch one of those movies though.
I know. I want to see what it, but if we're being honest, I feel like it would be really boring. Cause I feel like it was like a different theme of
yeah,
formula.
Back then, like, yeah, people had way longer attention spans.
Yeah.
But I do want to know like what went down on the beach party movies.
I know. Cause for sure wasn't like that edgy of stuff. I guess it was just romance. And then, but like, since she did it years later, was it like, I have kids now?
I don't know if like when she came back, it was like they were introducing it to a new generation and she was like the mom maybe, or I don't know what the deal was, but she's an icon. That's Annette Funicello for you.
Yeah! Oh my gosh. I honestly want to watch things that she's in now.
So that made me think of, well, who was the first Nickelodeon
I have to
star?
Take a pee break because she made me want to pee.
Okay, let's take a pee break.
Da.
Pee, 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 pee.
pee.
Okay, you guys, after Jacob took a pee break, we watched the Annette Funicello Tall Paul music video. The song is a bop.
I know, and it is crazy because it was like exactly what I was picturing.
Yeah, it's a bop. It has 30,000 views, 8 dislikes. Okay, she still has haters. That's a good sign.
So back in these days, where would the music video get released?
Probably just Disney Channel, whatever, like ABC or something. That's, I think there's only like 2 channels back then. But what I thought was crazy watching the music video of her is that, like, when you picture a Disney star nowadays, you picture like so over the top, overacting. Like, that's always like a stereotype. But
yeah,
she's like kind of casual in the music video. Like, she's singing it and being like Tall Paul or whatever, but like, she's not doing these crazy ass faces, like, oh my God, hi. You know what I mean?
And then it was also crazy because she was kind of dancing, moving her hands, but she wasn't like, I feel like it was like, it wasn't like choreographed.
Yeah, it seems like more natural.
Weirdly, it was more authentic.
I know. They really did it different back then. So the first Nickelodeon star,
it was,
I guess,
probably later, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't really know exactly who the first Nickelodeon star, because their first ever show was called The Pinwheel House, which was just like a house powered by a pinwheel. And
that sounds so like random.
The stars were a mix of humans and puppets. And I tried to find like the actors on them, but like, I don't know if they must not have had like as crazy of a career as Annette, because they didn't have Wikipedia pages.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure they were all still icons in their own right, you know? And the New York Times even wrote they wrote really good reviews for the Pinwheel show.
They did?
They said like it attracted praise from critics. The Chicago Tribune said it's a highly acclaimed Nickelodeon cable series for preschoolers.
Oh.
They were like, we love it. Like, they're like, it isn't for us, but like the preschoolers are loving the Pinwheel House.
So just everyone on that show is the first Nickelodeon famous person.
Yeah, there wasn't like a specific, I think obviously Disney just way more iconic, you know?
Yeah, because I feel like with Disney, they have like movies and shit.
Yeah, where they like really pushed Annette to like that level.
I wonder if during this time, I guess the Nick was probably later, but I wonder like if they got in a fight, like, oh yeah, like I'm a Disney bitch. And then they were I'm a Nick bitch though.
Oh, probably.
You're like, Disney bitches was Nick bitches.
I know. You know, there was like drama.
So my other things that I wanted to research, so in the same vein as the BBL one, am I wanting to do the first person to get a penis enlargement surgery?
I still don't get how that's even a thing.
But then I stopped researching it because I was... So this... On Medical News Today, they said most people who opt into the surgery have a normal functioning penis, making the surgery cosmetic. So with that being said, that's what I was looking for. I was looking for something like that. But then I stopped researching it because there was people that like actually like with people with micro penises and stuff. So I didn't want to know that. I wanted to know like who, but I couldn't find it. The person who just got it purely.
I don't get how that works.
Who already had a dick but just wanted a bigger one.
I just don't get how that works. I'd be interested.
Oh, from what I read, there's like multiple types of way of doing it. You can get an implant. You can get a blow up thing.
Oh, okay, cute.
Okay. Now my next one, I just want to pay tribute. An iconic business is Nick Toha Hats.
Wait, what?
So do you know who this is? What business this is?
Nick Toho Hats?
Nick Toho Hats.
Nick Toho Hats?
Well, it's H-O-T.
Oh, is it?
So this is a Rochester, New York restaurant. I've never been. But they created the iconic garbage plate.
Oh, I want a garbage plate so bad because of Jenna Marvel's video.
Yeah, so with this one, I was basically trying to find the person who invented the garbage plate. And this is who invented it. Just to give a... I've never had it, but yeah, from Jenna Marbles, that's how I know it. And this is what a garbage plate is. A garbage plate is... Wait, what does it say? Oh, okay, this is what a garbage plate is. It starts with a base of any combination of home fries, macaroni salad, baked beans, or french fries. Personally, if it was my first time getting it, I would get fries, but I would love to try the macaroni salad one. Topped with your choice of meats and dressed to your liking with spicy mustard, chopped onions, and our signature Nick Tahoe's hot sauce. Each plate comes with 2 thick slices of fresh Italian bread and butter. I love the name, but it tastes so good in the most greasy way.
Yeah, I remember the one Jenna Marbles made on her channel was, because she's from the East Coast, so like they were just so big back then, where it was like this, it was fries on the bottom, meat, and then she put like cheese sauce on it. Like it just seemed so good. Like this, the like it seemed like a drunk meal.
Yeah, it basically, that's what it reminds me of, like just gross food. Obviously, I wouldn't have it that often, but it's just gross food and I want to try it.
It's not something you'd be like, oh, let's have it for lunch. It's like you are blackout wasted and you're like, let's eat. You know, like when you probably never drink since you're under 21, but like when you drink, like you like need to eat like the greasiest food. So like this would really satisfy that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
One day I'm going to try a garbage plate.
So I just want to give a tribute to them. Now my next thing, this is my next thing that I tried to research because I wanted to have two, but it just wasn't working out. My next thing was the origins of casserole. You know how a joke nowadays is casserole. You know that's kind of a joke.
You think of casserole, you laugh. It seems like a joke. I love casserole though, but like just the name alone is just like casserole. Like it just is it's a joke.
I know it does. So basically what I found out about how casseroles were created is So first of all, a casserole is a pan filled with a meal and nothing needs to be added. So it's basically a one pan meal. It just is like you slap this shit in the oven, take it out, it's done.
The full meal, no sides.
It solves 12 people or something.
Honestly, great idea.
So baked dishes have been around since our great times five grandmas. You know, they've always been around.
Yeah.
But in the 1870s, casseroles started turning into what we know today.
Oh.
So basically, casseroles are a grain of meat and a veg. So when you get down to it, every casserole kind of is that. It's like, it could either be rice, potatoes, and then like beef or turkey, just broccoli.
Think of tater tot casserole. It's tater tots, the grain, beans is the vegetable, the meat is some beef or whatever.
And it's so crazy because, honestly, if you want to like have such an easy dinner, there actually is a way. You just put tater tots, turkey or hamburger or something, and then make it healthy by adding some broccoli.
Oh my, yeah. You have the grain, the meat, and the veg, all you need.
Yeah, so part of the popularity of casseroles were the rise of canned foods in the 50s. So, and also people wanted to use their leftovers. So if you had burgers last night, crumble them into a casserole.
Oh.
And also I learned that Campbell's, you know, the canned food brand, and they have like cream of mushroom and stuff. They actually advertised their products as like, add this to your casserole.
Oh my God, so fun.
So that kind of added to it. And also, I already said that. And it just started to explode, and thanks to the Foodie Companion blog for giving me this info. And also, things that started this whole casserole thing are the British pot pies, Italian lasagna, mac and cheese. You know how you don't consider those casseroles, and like,
but they
those
kind of are.
They're more like upscale, but they are, when you get down to it, it's a casserole.
It's so weird thinking of back in those days, because nowadays I feel like we try so many foods, because we're just exposed to Pinterest, where they have all these ideas, and like, every town, like if you live in a big city, no matter where you live, like has all these different like cuisines, you know?
Yeah.
But think of back in those days, like think of the 1800s, like were those like the most picky ass eaters ever? Because you would only eat what like you and like the people you were around ate. Like you would never try like another, would you? Like would you ever try like a weird ass recipe?
Wait, so would it, I don't know if this is true, but if you were around in those days, would you only eat stuff from your culture? So
for example,
since we live in the Midwest, I guess like, I wouldn't say this is like a culture, but hot dogs and hamburgers.
Yeah.
Would you ever eat Mexican food, Chinese food, Indian food, any other food?
You would never
food?
Go to like a sushi restaurant, or then everybody would be like, oh, Thai food. Like that would just, I'm assuming, wouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, people for sure had different taste buds back then.
Yeah, like if you did go to like New York City and like, I'm assuming there was more culture, so you try different food, do you think you would just be so weirded out by it? Because you'd be like, your palate would be so like shitty.
I know, you just would be like used to ketchup only.
Yeah, so you'd be like grossed out probably by even like Chinese food.
Yeah, so the last thing about casserole is my educated guess about why they became so popular and why in a way they still are popular but probably declining is because they're cheap and time effective. That's what I'm gonna say.
They can utilize leftovers, which is really nice.
If both, because what I'm thinking of is like a family, if both if both parents are walking, then it's like, I got home at 5:30. Let's throw this shit in the oven.
Yeah, get the can opener. Open up a few cans. Throw it into a dish. You have a delicacy.
I got mind blown. Okay. Casseroles are declining because crock pots and instant pots.
Wait, are they actually declining?
Well, you just don't hear about them as much. But I think crock pots and instant pots and all those and slow cookers, I think that kind of, in a way, like, went above casseroles, because it's like, why would you make a casserole if you can have dinner ready in 20 minutes from this instant pot?
Yeah, it must be like, even if it is a casserole, like, people would name it something different on Pinterest. Like, it'd be like, they'd say, like, I don't even know what, they would name it something like, so it doesn't sound like a casserole, even though it is.
Yeah, because it might tone people off.
Yeah. I mean, I want a casserole now.
I know. So, yeah, that's a little factual lesson for you guys.
Well, we hope you guys learned something. Thank you guys again for tuning in. We love the Bro Show community. Don't forget to subscribe and all that fun stuff.
Yup. Thanks for listening and watching. Boy.
Bye!
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.